Well, good afternoon. Thank you for coming to the family service today. I'm going to be turning and just using one verse from the Word of God, but this message came to my mind yesterday. The family, we went up to the farm, which is just behind our house, and the little baby lambs had been born. So we went up with Jude and Lottie, and we went up to the fence, and the wee lambs were bounding about and must have only just been a week or so old. So my mind automatically goes to, when you look at a little lamb, you can't help but think about the scriptures, and you think about the Old Testament, you think about the importance of the lamb, and then obviously the fulfillment of that. And this is what I'm wanting to think about this afternoon, just briefly. It won't be till midnight. But my mind went to a story that I'd heard about a great evangelist. You've probably heard of him, C.H. Spurgeon. And he was known as the Prince of Preachers. And in 1857, he was just 24 years of age, he was invited to go and speak at a special service down in the Crystal Palace in London. And it had been built in 1854 for the Great Exhibition. And it could hold around 25,000 people in this fantastic building of its day. It was meant to be one of the biggest in the world. And Spurgeon, he was invited to go along and he was to speak there. But in those days, there wasn't sound systems and there wasn't microphones and all those types of things. So he was to use the power of his voice to project through the Crystal Palace in London. And it was made of glass and steel in a fantastic building. And as I said, there was meant to be about 25,000 people it could hold. And that's what they're expecting to be there. And Spurgeon, obviously, he felt a little bit nervous. And could his voice possibly carry through such a vast building? And before the service, he wanted to go and to prepare and to see if his voice would be able to carry to the back of the auditorium, of the hall. So he made his way up to the pulpit. He drew a deep breath and proclaimed as loudly as he could, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And it says after that that a door at the back, a way at the back opened. Nobody there. A door opened at the back. And a maintenance man came through and he made his way all the way down to the pulpit where Spurgeon was and he bowed his knees and he took Christ as his saviour. One verse. You know, Spurgeon, he hadn't prepared a message. He hadn't thought of what he was going to say. It was the work of the Holy Spirit. And it was work of God alone. And it was through the power of one verse from the Holy Bible. You know, it was such a powerful thing. This man gave his life to Christ. You know, Spurgeon was preparing for the 25,000, the great evangelist, the Prince of Preachers. But here he was reminded it was nothing to do with him. It was all of God. And that man came and proclaimed Christ as his Saviour. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And you know, it was that little thought that I had yesterday and that little story. And I thought, you know, we'll look at that verse. It's found in John chapter 1, verse 29. If you want to look at it, you can. It's important you know where this verse is found in your Bible. And at this point, this declaration is made by a man called John the Baptist, and he sees the Lord Jesus approaching. And John the Baptist, he was used as a voice in the wilderness, and he was a prophet, and he would proclaim and tell people there was one coming. And John the Baptist, the sign would be that the Spirit of God would descend upon the Lord Jesus and it would rest there, and he would know that this was the Messiah. This was the promised Son of God. This is the one that they've been waiting for. This is the one that the Old Testament was pointing forward to. This is him, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This was the Son of God. And John the Baptist, while he's baptizing people in the River Jordan, and he's proclaiming about this one, he sees him. And this is what he says in John chapter 1, verse 29. That's what's the declaration. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Now I want to look at it just in four, break it down into four little segments. And I'll just be brief on each of them. And I want to go from the end to the start. You'll follow in a little minute. So I want to look at the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And you know, maybe at first glance, you come here today and you think, you know, this statement was said over 2,000 years ago. And you've just started talking about Spurgeon in 1854, when Spurgeon was 24, 1857, when Spurgeon was only 24 years of age, and we're going way back. But what's the relevance of this today, you might be thinking? Well, you know, this message here, this Jewish prophet, he was speaking to a Jewish audience, and he was speaking about a Jewish Messiah about 2,000 years ago. But what does it say right at the end of that verse? It doesn't say to the Jewish nation. It doesn't say to the Jews only. It says to the world. It says to the world, the sin of the world. You know, that message isn't just bound to that generation or to one nation. And it isn't just talking about the problems of the first century in Judea. It's talking about the world in which we live, past, present, future. And it's a universal issue, the sin of the world, a universal issue. And that is the great issue and the problem that the Word of God tells us about. You know, it's sin, not merely the sins, the individual sins that we all do, all the wrong things and the thoughts that we have and the things that we say and the actions that we show, but it's sin itself. And it's about the rejection of a holy and a righteous God. And we have to go all the way back to the start of our Bibles to understand what this means. And we realize that God is the creator. He is the everlasting to everlasting, the eternal God, a holy and righteous God, the one who has power to create, the one who created the world, the one who created all things, the one who created the galaxies, the one who holds all things in his hands, the Lord God who changes not, the one who is holy, who still is holy and will be holy. But you know, God created man and formed women, and he made them in his own image, and they were to have a relationship and they were to have fellowship with God. And God had commanded them to have fellowship with him and to eat of the creation in the Garden of Eden, but they were given one rule, and they were not to eat from the tree, a certain tree that they were not to eat from. And you know, Adam and Eve, they failed and they disobeyed, and the fellowship was broken because they'd sinned. They'd done something against God. Now, what does that mean for us? Now we're going all the way back to the start of creation. Well, that has great consequences for us today. Well, it says in Romans, and I want to read this, Romans chapter 5, verse 12, it says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. The consequence, the great problem of the Bible, the great problem for humanity, the great problem for the world, the great problem for you, the great problem for me, we're in sin. You know, it's a wonderful thing when you have a child, a little baby. But that baby's born and you know, you think, that can't be sin in that little baby. They're innocent. They don't even know what sin is. But the Bible tells us that, you know, the state of our heart and the state of what we are born into is that we're guilty in the eyes of God, that we're born into sin, that we're sinners before a holy God. We're separated. And, you know, it says there about death. And it's not just talking about when you die from this body, when you pass from this life. It's talking about an eternal separation from a holy and a righteous God because of our condition, because of our sin. The great problem, we are separated from a holy and righteous God. And it says in the Bible that place is called hell. That's what you're destined for. Now, it would be awful if I closed my Bible and I stepped down and that was it. But we're here to bring good news. And that's what the gospel is. It's good news. And there's great news in this single verse. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. So we've got a problem. The world has the problem. You and I have the problem of sin. But the Bible tells us there's one who can take it away, who takes away. You know, despite our condition, despite the sin in our life, despite the things that we do and say, that's the problem of our heart, that we're in sin. It's what we are. We're sinners. We've moved away from a holy and righteous God. But there's one who can take it away. There is one that can remove it. There's one that can carry it. And there's one that can deal with it. The debt is not ignored, but it's paid. And it was paid in full. By who? We go back again. The Lamb of God. You know, and John's audience, he was speaking to the Jewish audience, and he was speaking to the scribes and the priests that were coming, and they were challenging him. If you read through John chapter 1, and they were asking him questions about, who are you? Are you the Christ? Or are you Isaiah? Are you the prophet? And they were asking these things, and John was saying, no, I am not the Christ. I am the one that's pointing to Christ. And, you know, he was speaking here to the Jewish audience, and he had that great declaration, behold the Lamb of God. And the Jews, they knew what the Lamb represented. They could think into their morning and their evening sacrifices and the lambs that would be offered for the sin offering. They could think back to the Passover, and they could think about how the nation was going to be taken from Egypt and how God had commanded them to take that lamb, and they were to slay the lamb, and they were to take the blood and they were to apply it. The application of the blood in the doorposts and the lintel and the households and those that didn't have a lamb were to be gathered. And the angel of death would pass and they'd be rescued because they'd be under the blood. They could see all the fulfillments. They could think to Genesis 22 and they could think of Abraham and Isaac. And Abraham could say to his son, you know, God will provide for himself a lamb. And they could think back to all of these images and all these things that were in the Old Testament. They could think of the tabernacle and they could think of the temple and they could see the sacrificial system and what it meant, the lambs, the blood. And the Lord Jesus, he would come and he'd fulfill all of those images. And it'd converge. He would be the lamb that God has provided. You know, unlike Isaac, you know, if you know the story, God provided a substitute for Isaac. But here God, unlike Isaac, he would not spare his own son. You know, unlike the daily sacrifices of the temple and the sacrifices that had to happen again and again and again, right through the Old Testament, right up to the point of Calvary, they had to be continued. But here, the Lamb of God, it would be a once and for all sacrifice upon the cross. The blood would be shed. You know, his blood, his precious blood, wouldn't just cover a household or just cover a nation. It would be enough to cover you. It would be enough if the whole world turned to him and cried in him and asked for forgiveness. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ would be enough to save the whosoever. The lowest person, the people in the prisons, the vilest offender, the blood of Christ can save. You know, I want to encourage your heart as you're sitting in these seats today. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Behold the Lamb of God who can take away your sin. You know, I wonder if you know him as your own.
I wonder if you can think to a time where you accepted him and thanked him personally from your own heart. Is he your God? Have you thanked him that God sent his Son into the world, the one who had the glory before the world was, the one who set it aside and veiled himself in human flesh, and who trod upon Calvary's hill and allowed himself to be nailed to a Roman cross? You know, that was for you. It was for the world, but it was for you if you accept him. A perfect, spotless, sinless Lamb of God. You know, the whole of John's Gospel, it pushes out that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Son of God. It tells us about his deity and who he was. That he was not just a Lamb, but he was the Son of God. That we beheld his glory. You know, you see the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ being poured out of John's Gospel. If you've never read it, I'd advise you to go away and read John's Gospel. It's so powerful. The eternal Son of God went to the cross, and his precious blood is sufficient for all. For all. And I want to finish on this. Behold. Behold, what a statement. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know, that's a look, see, pay attention, listen, behold the Lamb of God. You know, it says, don't look at your own strengths. Don't turn to technology. You know, we're living in a world today where everything is going to technology and the advancement of technology. And that's a great sign, if you know your Bible, the advancement of technology. Don't look to politics. Don't look to human solutions. Don't look within. Behold. Behold the Lamb of God. He's the only way. He's the only way. You know, there's a verse in John that says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, we're living in a world today that's looking for a way. They're looking for truth. They're looking for life. Where is it found? The Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other. You know, world religions, they're looking for ways. They're seeking truth. They're looking for life. They won't find it in religion. They won't find it in rules and regulations. They won't find it in pilgrimages. It's found in a person. It's found in a relationship. It's found in Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, who hung on a cross for you. You know, it's important that we think about the blood that was shed on the cross. He died for us. He was taken down from a cross, and he was put in a rich man's tomb. You know, we thought about this last week, and I'm sure wherever you were in whatever church or wherever you went to remember this on Easter, that 3 days later, he rose again. And that's the importance of the Bible. It's the importance of the gospel. The good news of the gospel is we don't come to remember a figure in history. We don't come to think of a martyr who died for a cause. We come to preach and to praise and to worship the risen Saviour. We come to tell you about one who defeated sin, who defeated death, who rose again. The one that can give you true life, abundant life, eternal life, everlasting life. Do you have that? Do you have that? Well, listen. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold him. Look to him. Accept him. Trust in him. You know, just before I finish, you know, remember that one sentence, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. You know, it was enough for that man in 1857 where Spurgeon, he stood up. He didn't preach a message. He never said a thing apart from one word, one sentence from the Word of God. And it was enough because the Spirit of God moved. And the man came and he kneeled and he proclaimed Christ as his Saviour. You know, it was enough in that empty hall. I wonder if it's enough today. I wonder if it's enough for you. I wonder if the Lord Jesus Christ is for you. You know, John would later write in 1 John chapter 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, the invitation is simple. Behold him. Look to him. Confess your sins, which is to say that you're sorry for your sins. You're sorry for what you've done in your life and in your heart and in your mind. And turn to him. It says, turn away from that life and turn to him and accept him and welcome him in. And you know, you're no longer the one that's in control of your life, but now you're allowing him to be in control of your life. Crown him the Lord of your life. You know, it's a wonderful thing. It's the best thing that's ever happened in my life. You know, for everyone in here that knows the Lord Jesus and has accepted him into their life, there's nothing better. What else do we really have? He's everything. The one who came into the world and died on a cross and shed his precious blood. The one who rose again. The one who ascended into glory. That's where he is just now. In the heavenlies. Seated at God's right hand, crowned with many crowns. But the Bible tells us he's coming back. You know, he'll come to the skies and those who are dead will be caught and those who are alive will be caught up together with him. The great rapture, that's the hope for the believer, that one day we'll see him. And you know, the Bible's unravelling before our very eyes in these last days. It's coming. He's coming. He's coming soon. Behold. Behold. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Thank you for listening. Let's close now with a word of prayer. Our Lord and our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for thy precious word. Lord, we thank thee for thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we just give thee thanks for this time spent. Lord, we would just pray for any that maybe don't know you as their own personal Saviour, that they would accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Saviour. Father, we thank you for the wonderful news of the gospel. And we thank you that it's still so powerful and relevant to this day. And Lord, we just pray for any now. And we leave it in thy hands and we ask it in the precious and powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.